Well, everyone, welcome back from break. We're still going with the deep dive into the Office 365 app model. And now we're on to our second module, deep dive apps for Office and Word. So we just looked at apps for Office and Outlook. So now we're going to look at a second type of app for Office that you can create. Once again, it's me, Ted Pattison, here with Scott Hillier. And let's go ahead and see the agenda for this session. So we're going to start just with a quick introduction to what apps for Word are. Next, we'll move into the Visual Studio realm and start developing some apps for Word, getting things going inside the debugger. We'll talk about reading and writing content to and from a document. We'll talk about what document bindings are and basically what they're useful for. And finally, we'll talk about packaging and deployment. Okay, well, let's start out with an introduction to apps for Word. So at a high level, what is an app for Office? From your perspective as a developer, a app for Office is really a web page that gets loaded inside of an Office application in one of, you know, several different ways. It can be embedded inline, or it can be displayed within the task pane. And it's associated with a particular document, in the case of this particular module. It could be associated with an email message or appointment, as we saw in module number one. Now, what's neat about apps for Office is that as you develop these, they can be used within the rich Word client, and they can also be used in Office web applications. Another thing to think about as a developer is everything is based on emerging web technologies, HTML5, CSS, JavaScript. If you like using things like jQuery and jQuery UI and Knockout and Angular, you know, all those JavaScript libraries can be used as you're building your app for Office. Now, you can also add a custom web service behind your app for Office such that it's not all client-side code, but you'll basically make GET and POST requests from your client-side code to the server-side code in your web service, and then you can write as much C# as you want to do whatever you want as far as grabbing data from around the network and passing it back to the client layer. Now, if we go back to the slides for a second, when we design an app for Office, you have to consider what shape you would like to use. So the one that we're going to focus on here, because it's the only one supported by Word when we create an app for Office, is a task pane app. And the task pane app is a familiar paradigm where your app surfaces on the right-hand side of the screen. The user can see both your task pane app and the document, and the idea is that your app provides some type of utility to read or write content to and from the document. There's other types of shapes we'll be looking at in later modules, content apps, which appear in line somewhere within a document, such as a PowerPoint slide deck or an Excel spreadsheet. And finally, there is the mail app shape that we've already looked at in the previous module. Now, remember that apps for Office are built on top of a special runtime environment, which is known as the Web Extensibility Framework. And that's what really allows a web page to run and render within an Office application. And not just a web page, but all the resources behind the web page that you would use in web development, such as CSS and JavaScript. And as we write JavaScript, we're going to see that we're going to be able to interact with the Office documents. So the big benefit of the Web Extensibility Framework is it provides a component architecture so that we can create software to extend applications like Microsoft Word. Now, the Web Extensibility Framework also provides the underlying plumbing where once we're done developing an app, we can go ahead and publish it to a SharePoint app catalog or just a Windows file share. And we'll see that by the end of this particular module. Now, at a high level, an app for Office, you know, is really just an XML file that tells the host application where to find the start page from. And then whatever is behind the start page is whatever you want to put inside of it. So just think of it as a XML manifest and then a website, which might or might not include server-side code within a custom web service as well. Now, specifically for Word, when we want to go ahead and use an app for Office as a user, Word in the Insert tab provides the App for Office drop-down menu. And that's where users can go and discover apps for Office and add them to a Word document. And note that once a user inserts an app inside of, you know, something such as a Word document and saves the Word document, the information from the manifest gets saved inside there. So whenever someone opens that Word document, it's going to activate the app. Now, when we use Word as our target Office application, we're going to use TaskPane apps. And what's nice about the TaskPane app is that people with experience with Microsoft Word are very familiar with just built-in Word utilities that surface inside the TaskPane. So it leverages a very familiar user experience for Word users. Now, what are you going to do with your TaskPane app? Quite often, we provide some type of utility to either read things from the document or to write to the document. So this slide shows a common app for Office that you can use for Microsoft Word. And once installed and once added to a Word document, what you're able to do is search for words, and it's going to make a web service call to a dictionary service in the cloud, get the information back, and allow you to quickly insert that inside of the document. So just the assistance of building Word documents is one of the most practical things that you can do, you know, as you build these apps for Office. Okay, well now let's move to our next section where we're talking about developing apps specifically for Word. Now, what you'll see is getting started is incredibly easy. We're going to create a new app for Office project in Visual Studio. We then design the user interface just using HTML. Then we enhance the web page with CSS to get the styling that we want, and we add behaviors in with JavaScript. Now, we also might want to set some of the attributes of the app itself by updating the app manifest. And then we can simply run the project, and Visual Studio does all the work to deploy the app within a testing slash debugging environment, open up a new Word document, insert the new app, and we're off and running. Now, when we create a new app for Office project, there's going to be one template that Visual Studio provides for us called Apps for Office. And once we decide to create a project based on that, it's going to ask us what shape we would like to use. So we're going to use the task pane shape if we want to target Microsoft Word. And then finally, an app has different capabilities, which tells it what type of Office applications it can target. And we can create one that only targets Microsoft Word, or we could create one that's a switch hitter that targets Excel and PowerPoint and Project. So when you create an app, it's possible for you to use capabilities in your code such that we're using capabilities only supported in Microsoft Word, therefore your app will really be hard-coded to Microsoft Word. There's also generic APIs for doing things like reading and setting document content that work across several different types of apps. You know, so it is possible to create an Apps for Office that is able to be used across multiple Office applications. Now, the structure that you'll see in my first demo is that you will create a new App for Office project, which really is a solution that creates two different projects. The top project, in this case, the My Word app project, just contains the XML file, which is the manifest. And down below, we'll see there's a second project. In this case, it's always named the same name as the top project and appends web on the end. You know, think of that as the remote web or the website, which has the start page and all the JavaScript and any other types of resources you want to put inside of it, you know, including something such as a custom web service. Now, note that when we start using one of these projects and you create them, you don't have to do anything to add in references or a package for jQuery because it's automatically added. But if you wanted to add something such as jQuery UI, or you wanted to add Knockout or any other library, your first attempt would be see if you can add it as a NuGet package. And if you can, it's just very easy to add the things inside there, just as you were developing an ASP.NET web application. Now, here's a look at the app manifest designer. The app manifest itself is an XML file. However, they give you a friendly designer to abstract away the XML and give you a friendly environment to work in. You can see here you've set things such as the display name, the provider name, description, if you want to add in icons and whatnot for display as the app is published, you know, that's possible as well. Note there's also a permission level. So your app can have one of several different permissions, and by default, the requested permission is read-write document, which allows you to read the current selection or read named items within the document, and also to write content back inside there as well. Now here's a quick view of the XML. So the app manifest is going to be a very important piece because when we publish the app, this is what Word looks at to figure out where the particular start page is, the source location. If you look at this XML document down here, you might note that we have a default settings down here. And during development, we can use this easy technique to just tell Visual Studio, figure out where the remote app URL is by looking at the web project and seeing what it's configured for. You know, but that default value is going to have to be swapped out, you know, with a real URL to some endpoint on your local network or on the internet before we go ahead and ship. Okay. Now, when we create an app for Office, we have to construct a user interface. So given the project structure that's given to me, there is a home.html file, and I can go ahead and create my user interface inside there. Now, a couple things to note, a couple do's and don'ts. You are able to provide hyperlinks to open in a browser, such as, you know, maybe your app goes and discovers a couple resources that are interesting for the user, and you could basically provide links that when a user clicks on it, it's going to open the browser. Now, also design your app so it fits inside the task pane. So make sure that you're able to work within a small piece of real estate. Okay. Also use iframes with navigation bars only if absolutely necessary. You're trying to get away from that. And consider ways to provide feedback to users. One thing that's nice about the out-of-the-box project that we create is that it gives us a way to communicate with users automatically. Now, the obvious things we don't want to do is have hyperlinks that try to redirect the app, you know, inside the app window itself. And then also don't navigate from one page to another and disallow your user any way to get back because it's not the browser, you don't have back arrows, you don't want to use things like alerts inside there as well. Okay, now a couple other notes. There is a context menu that we're able to add custom menu commands into. And that's basically if you need a drop-down menu, you can use that, but you're not going to have any type of control over adding custom controls to the ribbon in the Word application. Okay, also note that there is a settings aspect to the API. So for instance, if you wanted to save and then later read random property settings, the API provides a way for you to write whatever type settings that you want. You know, maybe the last place the user took data from, something like that. We can simply write one or more name properties to the document and read them later the next time they open the document. Now, as I mentioned, you want to provide some way to interact with the user if things go wrong or if things go right or you just need to send a notification. And so the code added by Visual Studio out of the box provides this app.js file. And under initialize, they add this notification message element to the window. And you'll see that in the demo. It just provides a very easy way for you to interact with the user. Okay, now after I create this app for Office, you're gonna see it's incredibly simple to get up and going. You're just gonna hit the F5 key and it's gonna be very simple to test the app. So without further ado, let's get in and see our very first demo of creating an app for Office that targets Microsoft Word. So I'm going to move over to Visual Studio and I'm going to create a new project. I'm going to create an app for Office Scott, you've been very quiet today. What type of, can you give me a project name?
Oh, I'm going to have a project name for this. So we can just call it Academy Office App. How about that?
Spelling. Okay, Academy Office App.
There you go.
Very nice. Okay, so we'll go ahead and we'll create this. And it asked me what type of shape or what type of app do you want. Remember, if you're targeting Microsoft Word, you have to stick with the default selection task pane. Next, what are we going to choose? I'm just going to choose Microsoft Word for this demo. We'll go ahead, we'll choose Finish. And it's going to create a Visual Studio solution with two different projects inside of it. And now that we can see this, let's go ahead, close this down for 1 second, and just see the structure. You know, at a high level, we have two different projects. The top one has the manifest. You know, and once again, here is the manifest inside here. Let's go ahead and make the display name a little bit more readable. We'll go ahead and have a provider name inside there. I can put descriptions, icons. If I wanted to switch to a lower level of permissions, I can change that right here. And they've already got a source location inside here. So I'm going to save and close. It's not often necessary, but if you're kind of interested in looking at the XML, you know, we can see that inside here. When you use the designer, it simply updates this XML file, which is going to be the app manifest. You can see that under capabilities, we just have document, which basically means Word document, which means this app for Office only targets Microsoft Word. If I had the need to target Excel or PowerPoint, you know, we would see the names of, you know, the documents for those, which would be not document, but they use other terms inside here. Okay, now let's look down below at the website or the remote web associated with this. And so the structure they've given us is there is a app folder. And the app folder has some things that are supposed to go across pages. At this point, we only have one page. But you can see right here under app.js is that JavaScript code that we just showed on the slide. And this is what's going to allow us to set notifications inside there. You know, but if we go back over here and we take a look at the HTML, what we can see in home.html, here is the HTML out of the box. Content header with a welcome inside there. We have a content main inside. They have a little bit of an advertisement here to go to a site. So let's say I get rid of that. And now we have a home.js file inside here. And the very first line of code that you want when your app initializes is this line of code that takes office.initialize and assigns a function to that. And what we see here is that when the app starts up, well, the Web Extensibility Framework will call this function. And so if you want to do your typical web application initialization, you might want to wait till the page is ready as far as the elements of the DOM ready for access. So we have the document ready event handler from jQuery, and we have an app.initialize. Remember, this call right here is just calling to that app object that was created in app.js. It just provides an easy way to get notifications. Now, there is a button that they provided. Let's just go ahead and run this and kind of see what Hello World looks like. So I go back here, and we run this. And the idea is I go ahead and I have some type of selection. And if I click on Get Data from Current Selection, you know, you can see that the selected text is, and that's the notification inside here. Now, what's really neat about doing development is you don't have to stop the debugger. For instance, let's say that we go back here, and at first, let's go ahead and get rid of some of the code that's inside here. So let's go ahead and reduce what we get out of the box, and we'll go ahead and get rid of that inside there. Let's go ahead and get rid of this function as well. Now, let's go back to the UI. Now here, what I'd like to do is, let's go ahead and create a button inside there. And I'll just call this My Button. And will have some type of text, you know, such as press me. And I'll go ahead and save this. We'll come back over here. We'll save this. And now let's go back into here. I'll right click and we'll do a reload. And so it's able just to go back, reload that data inside there. I'm not sure why it's taking so long. This should be a little bit quicker than that. press me, okay. But now there's nothing happening, you know, inside of this particular button right here. So let's use our jQuery skills as we would in a regular ASP.NET application. Okay, so now we have this one particular button with this ID of press me. So if we add some type of a function inside here. So we'll add a function on press me, and inside there, we'll go ahead and do something such as, we'll go ahead, use the jQuery function, and we'll go ahead, we'll find that button, and then we'll hook up the click event to that particular routine that we just created on press me. Okay, now that we've done that, let's go ahead and write a little code inside here. So if we do a app dot and then show notification, and now we'll do a hello world inside there. And now let's go ahead and save this code right here. Let's now go back and reload this code inside there. So the idea that you're just basically building the UI, hooking up event handlers as you would in a regular .NET application, you know, that is the key point inside there. We'll go ahead, we'll say press me.
At this point, you can see that you could basically use any web technology that you want here, anything that you're comfortable with, any JavaScript libraries, call over to other services. So it really opens the whole thing up.
That's exactly right. You know, the one thing I would point out is that, you know, generally, you should stick with a single page application design as opposed to something that moves from page to page just because of the way things initialize inside there.
Well, it'll give you a better user experience too.
It will give you a better user experience, and that's what most of us are moving to begin with. Now, let's say also, just in this first demo, that if I close this down and now back here, I hit F5 again, it just keeps building a new, the debugging session starts by creating a Word document and adding things inside. You know, but let's say that for whatever reason, I decide that I want to keep doing my testing, not with a brand new Word document, but an existing doc. So let's go ahead and get this document here and put a heading inside there, and we'll say this is a test. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do a save as, and we're going to take this and we're going to go ahead and browse, and I'll go back to wherever this project is, Academy Office App. And so there's two different projects. I'm going to go to this top one, Academy Office App, and we're going to save this document, and maybe I'll save it something as test doc.docx. And now that we've done that, let's go ahead and close it down. Now, what we need to do is we need to get that document into this project. One quick way to do that is if we click on Show All Files, we see the test document, we can right click, we can say Include in Project, and then we'll turn off the Show All Files. Now, let's go ahead and select the document up top here. And as I select the document, notice down here under the Start Action, Office Desktop Client, there's a couple different options that we have right there. But what I want to do is switch this over to the test document right here. So now let's go ahead, start this up. And so what you can see is now you're going to be working with this each time as we add that inside there.
So that's really nice, because if you had form fields or something else here that were part of the business process that you were working on, you'd be able to use that form in your testing.
Exactly right. A demo that's coming up in just a bit, we're going to expect the document to have some content controls that have well-known names that the code's going to look for, so you don't want to have to go create that every time. You just want to have a test document that you use each time we start that up. Okay, so let's go ahead and move back to the slides. So now that we've kind of seen the hello world of app for office development targeting Word, let's talk about reading and writing the content to and from documents. So there is a JavaScript API, and some of it is common across apps, some is particular to Word. Now, we've added a link up here. There is a good reference on MSDN where you can see the JavaScript APIs for Office, and you can see that which is particular for Word, so you can start getting an idea of how we're going to use things inside here. Now, in my next demo, what I want to do is just show some fairly simple things to get you started. Well, note that whenever you want to read or write data to and from a document, we're using JavaScript, we have to use asynchronous functions that are part of the API. Now, there is an office.context.document that allows your JavaScript code to get a hold of the current document, and one easy way is to call getSelectedDataAsync if you want to pull the content back. Now, note this call right here, getSelectedDataAsync, takes two different arguments. The first is the coercion type, how do you want to pull back the data? And we'll look at coercion types in just a second, but the most obvious one is text. The second argument is a function. So here we have an anonymous function that looks at the result, and I can see whether I've succeeded or failed in what I'm attempting to do. Okay, now let's look at this second example. So set selected data async. If we look at the code down below here, one of the things that we're going to see is I can call setSelectedDataAsync, and if all I want to do is take the current selection that the user has, and if nothing's selected, the data will be inserted wherever the cursor is in the Word document, and I can just pass a single argument, which is the content I want to write. But we also have the ability to pass a callback method. Now, if everything happens successfully, I really don't care about the callback method. It's only when things fail. So when you get started, one of the things you might want to create is just this common method right here, this common function, test for success. And all it's going to do is look to see if the call failed. And if it does, we'll just do an app show notification. Now, the next demo that I'm going to show is going to demonstrate some of the power you have when your app wants to write content into a Word document. So there's this idea of coercion types. And coercion types allow you to write simple text, or if you like working with jQuery and writing HTML and you want to just add that to the Word document, you're able to do that. There's also this notion of a matrix, which is an array of arrays, which can be readily written to the Word document. There's also the ability to add a table. And notice that the APIs give us a office.datatable object that we'll see in just a second. Okay, and also I can write Office Open XML format data inside there. Okay, so let's go ahead and see another demo. So I'm going to go back to Visual Studio, and I'm going to open one of the demos that we've provided for you in the demos directory for this module. And this one is the content writer. Now, first of all, let's go ahead and start this up. We'll go ahead, start up this app right here. And the idea is that I have a little utility that when a user is working with this, they're able to place the cursor somewhere, click that, and get some particular content inside there. And then place the cursor somewhere else and add more content inside. So, a quick code walkthrough. Let's go ahead, and all the code in this demo is going to be in home.js. So I'll go into full code view right here. And inside the office.initialize function, we just have code that's going to bind functions to each of those event handlers. And then when I want to add some content, office.context.document set selected data async, hello world, and optionally add the test for success inside there. Fairly straight ahead. Well, let's look at this next example. I want to add content as HTML. So many ways you could get HTML. In this case right here, we're just kind of using a jQuery technique for creating a div element and then adding some child elements like an H2, a paragraph, a second paragraph inside there. And now, when it's time to add that inside, we call setSelectedDataAsync. We take that jQuery wrapper object and we call the HTML method to get the pure HTML. But just to tell Word what type of data we're adding, we're also passing a coercion type of HTML inside there. And that's how I provide this capability to add the content as you see inside. You know, just imagine you're working with some backend service and some backend service likes to push back HTML. You could also just take the HTML from that directly and set the coercion type as HTML and pass that inside there.
Well, it also makes it nice because you get control over the format and appearance of the document in a way that's familiar to you.
That's exactly right. So it's, you know, Word does the all the work of taking the HTML and converting it to the appropriate content inside of the Word document. Okay, the next thing we're going to look at is, let's look at two different ways to create tables. I can create a matrix inside here, or I could create a office table. And so the code for adding a matrix right here, you can see here I've simply created a JavaScript array of arrays. So this basically gives me the outer array. And then the inner arrays that we have here just have string arrays of first name, last name. So that's going to be my column headers, and then some values. And so when we say set selected data async, we pass that JavaScript object, we say coercion type matrix, and that is what builds this inside there, which is now just recognized in Word as a table. Now, a second thing that we can do is to work with part of the API for Apps for Office is that I can call new on the office.data table. Once I do that, it's a little bit more straight ahead because I'm able to add headers, which once again is an array of an array, and then the rows are going to be arrays with inside there. But once I've got my office table object with its headers and its rows, my coercion type equals table, and that's how I add this content inside there. Okay, now the last example we have is going to be working with Open XML. Now, there are many different ways that you could generate Open XML. What we've done for this demo is to keep things simple and to simply have a set of XML files that we've added inside here. So let's say that I wanted to add a paragraph. Okay, now I'm going to make this small because you probably don't want to see everything inside there. But the idea is that for folks that work with Open XML, you could create a custom web service that took some type of a request, generated the XML, passed it to the front end that was then able to put it inside there. Or perhaps you have someone else creating your Open XML and you'll use some technique where you just have static files that have well-known entries that you want to add inside there. Now, when we look at the actual code that's making this work. So here, I've got some code that is, first of all, going to look at the drop-down box inside there. Because what I've done is I've made it so you have four different choices, and if we pick paragraph, well, it just knows to find the file called paragraph.xml. But the idea is that when we click on Open XML, we're able to add things inside there, and the Open XML can express anything that is possible to add into a Word document. Just to kind of show some other examples here, let's say that it's not a paragraph, but I want to add a picture inside here. Or I want to add a chart, or I want to add a table. So these are all things that are possible to add inside there. And so just finishing up, let's quickly go back and kind of take a look at, you know, the Open XML. You know, and once again, I think you're going to find it first that Open XML is a fairly intimidating vocabulary or syntax until you start really attacking it. There's some great resources that you can find as far as Microsoft being published on, you know, how to work with Open XML for Word inside there.
This is okay. A good strategy, though, for the Apps for Office, because generally that the Apps for Office are going to have some kind of narrow business context. So it's likely that you're going to want to know or have a good idea what those chunks of content are going to look like. So to be able to predefine those chunks of content, perhaps with placeholders inside of them where you'll substitute key values, is really viable. So it's more than just this demo you did, Ted. That's a good approach for a lot of these add-ins.
Yeah, it is true. And just to go one more time, if you kind of look at the picture that's being inserted, the picture is just being inserted as a big binary piece of data that can be passed in an XML document.
Sure.
And that can just be, directly inserted, inside of your Word document. Okay. So that shows us just some different options that we have of, how powerful the APIs are when you have content either that you've created from your JavaScript or you've gotten by calling across the network and you want to assist the user by quickly inserting content into their Word document. Okay, let's go ahead and move ahead to the next section where we're going to talk about document bindings. Now, the motivation for bindings is if you don't use bindings, the only place you can really read and write content is where the user has selected or placed the cursor. So what's nice about bindings is that you can have well-known places in the document that you can read and write from. Now, Word supports bindings only with one thing. You have to use the rich text content control, and I'm going to show you a demo of how to create one of those. And the idea is you'll create a rich text content control, and you'll change the title, which serves as the ID. So when your JavaScript code is trying to make a binding, it's going to need to know the name of that inside there. But the idea is you can create these Word document templates that have the content controls, and then your app can do something such as pull back customer information from a back-end system and automatically update the content controls inside of the document. Now, you can read and write through basically the content that's inside of a bound content control. You can also register event handlers. So if someone updates a value inside of a content control, it's automatically going to fire your JavaScript code so you can take the change and basically notify some backend system, for instance. Now, when you want to add the content controls, you need to have the developer tab in Microsoft Word. Users don't need this, but whoever is going to create the initial Word document template is going to have to enable the developer tab and start adding those things inside there. And then there's going to be a property sheet where you can take the title and change it to a particular name. Now, once we know that our app is working with a Word document that has these named content controls, you can see that if I go to, let's look at the first couple lines of code right here, in particular this line of code, it goes to document.bindings. So there is a collection, which is initially empty, and so we're going to say add from named item async. And there are going to be three controls, first name, last name, company. What do I want to bind? What's the coercion type? It's going to be text in this case. What is the IDs of those inside there? So one of these is the name of the content control. The other is going to be the name of the binding so that you can programmatically read and write values. And then also we can put a callback method that's going to fire when the binding is created so we can make sure it was created successfully. Okay, now if we want to set the binding values, let's look at this bottom function right here. In particular, let's look at this very bottom line of code. If we say office.select, well, first of all, we reference the bindings collection, and then we add the pound sign, and then we basically put whatever ID we gave the bindings. So remember, up above, it's that ID that you're creating for that particular binding, so down below, that's how you reference it. Okay. Now, let's say we wanted to take the final step, and whenever someone updates a value, I want my app to get a trigger to execute code to do whatever it needs to do, such as notify a backend system. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to a particular binding, and we're going to say add handler async. And there are a couple different types of events. The one we want most commonly is binding data changed. And then we point to a function, which will be the callback function. Okay, so let's go ahead and work through a demo here. So let's go ahead and close the demo I was working with before. We'll go ahead, create a new project. And Visual Studio's giving me a hard time here. Come on, Visual Studio. Okay, so now he's back. So this time, what we're gonna do is we'll just create a app, and I'll call it My Binding Demo.
Very original.
Very original name we have right here. And just like before, we'll go through this pretty quick. Task pane, and I just want to work with Microsoft Word inside here. So we'll go ahead and we'll add this inside. And then before I do anything, let's go ahead and just run the thing. Now, remember when you run this, it automatically creates a new Word document and adds the app inside there. You know, so let's say that now I want to make a document template. So we'll have a customer information. We'll make that a heading one. I'll come down below here. We'll say, let's go ahead and insert a table. That's got a couple different things inside here. You know, so now we'll have something where we want a first name and a last name and a company name inside there. Okay, so now what we need to do is we need to add those rich text content controls. So we need the developer tab. Note that in Word, the developer tab's not there initially. So if you right click on the ribbon and choose customize the ribbon, you have to basically click this one particular checkbox right here to get the developer ribbon to show up. Once we've done that, we're able to place our cursor, and up top here, we have the rich text content control. So I'll add one of those. I'll add a second one. We'll add a third one inside here. Now, it's a little bit strange the first time you use it. You have to select it. You can't right-click and choose properties. You have to select it, then click on properties up here. And we'll go ahead and give it a title of first name. And then we'll go to the next one right here, choose properties, give that one a title of last name. Finally, come here, give this one a title of company. So basically now these are named items that my code can use. So now what we're gonna do is we're gonna take this document and we'll go ahead and we'll browse and we will go find our project right here. And I'll call this the customer information or test document, doesn't really matter what I call it inside here. Let's go ahead, choose save. Now that I've saved that inside, I'm gonna do the same thing I did before with respect to, I'll go ahead and choose show all files such that we can see that, add it to the top project. I'll go ahead and disable show all files. But now that we have that inside there, let's go back to our top project and let's go ahead and change things for customerinformation.doc. Let's go ahead and start one more time just to make sure we're working with our document here. Okay, things look good. Okay, and now in the, just to make things a little bit faster, I'm gonna go ahead and cheat. I'm gonna take a couple different source files that I have right here and just replace the ones that Visual Studio created for me. Let's go ahead and paste these things inside here. And so when we take a look at what I've added inside here, I've created just three different command buttons. And the idea is we want to kind of step through the process of creating the bindings and then setting the values and then hooking up event handlers inside there. So let's go ahead and take a look at this code right here. So when the app initializes, it's going to do nothing more than hook up these functions down here as event handlers. Let's go ahead and run this right here. You know, and so I'll go ahead and we'll click on this first one down here, which is going to create the bindings themselves, new bindings added. And so when it was time to do that, we simply called add from named item async and bound to those three different controls. Okay, that's great. And you saw the callback on bindings created got called, and it came back with a success error message. Well, now that I have the bindings, let's say that I want to set some values inside here. So we have Bob Barker, the price is right. Let's go back here, set binding values, and you can see that now your app has the ability to read and write the values that are inside there.
That's great. That's like creating your own UI for the app.
That's exactly right. And you just think of all the things where you have invoices or requests for proposals.
Absolutely.
Where the data exists, it's inside of some backend database. We just have to pull it out and put it into a prettily formatted Word document.
Right, bind it to my CRM system so I can easily create documents, sales documents for customers, that type of thing.
Exactly right. And now the final step is, let's go ahead and register some binding event handlers. And so in this case right here, we're going to find the bindings and then say add handler async and bind to this message. And when we do that, we're not going to do anything other than show a notification. But now let's go back. We'll go ahead, click this right here. And so now the user comes in and makes a change, switches that to Robert. And now as I tab out, notice that my code fired and I was able to, you know, figure out what changed, what's the ID of the control, and then my app would have some logic about what to do with that type of information.
Very nice.
Okay, so now that we've looked at binding, we're into the home stretch now. So our final section is going to talk about packaging and deployment of really any type of app for Office. We're just going to use Word here because that's the focus of this particular module. Now, apps for Office, you can really kind of put into two different categories. There's mail apps, and those things get deployed differently. We talked about that in the previous module. What we're going to talk about here is all the other types of apps for Office. How do we deploy those? So first step is we need to take the remote web or the website and deploy it somewhere, such as Windows Azure into a Windows Azure website or into basically a IIS server running on your local network. Next, we build the app package, and you have to include the HTTPS URL of the remote web. You know, so note that your remote web is going to have to be accessible through HTTPS, not HTTP. And then finally, we're going to upload the app package or the app manifest to some type of an app catalog. Now, when we choose the app catalog, we basically have the choice of a SharePoint app catalog, which is preferred because it has several advantages, such as the ability to revoke and basically kill the app if the administrator wants to do that. Or we can use a file share where we're simply going to copy the app manifest up there. Now, the SharePoint app catalog is designed for private corporate networks or people that are using Office 365. The idea is that the SharePoint app catalog has one document library for SharePoint apps and a second document library for apps for Office. Now, the SharePoint app catalog is really just a site collection, and we'll see that in the upcoming demo. We can also use a file share, and that might give you a simpler way to deploy apps for Office if you don't have Exchange for mail apps, or if you don't have SharePoint and you still want to deploy apps for Office. But in our demo, we're going to show how to do that with an app catalog. Okay, let's go ahead, move back. And so for my very last demo here, I'm going to move in and look at this Word App 1. Now, Word App 1, I just wanted to use something familiar to you, so it's really just the exact same functionality as the Content Writer app we saw earlier. But now we want to move through the steps of deployment. So if I go to this particular project and we say publish, well, we want to deploy this somehow, and so we can just use the regular Visual Studio to deploy somewhere such as a local IIS server, or we can deploy to Windows Azure. In our case right here, let me go ahead and bring up IIS. You know, just to show you that for this demo, I created a IIS website, and inside of that, I also configured things, you know, such that it supports HTTPS. Okay, and then as Visual Studio, we choose publish. What that's gonna do is push content inside here. So if I go and take a look at the content, We've basically just taken what was inside of a Visual Studio project and deployed it inside. Okay, next, what we need to do is the other side, which is to create the app package or the app manifest. So now if I go to the top project and we choose publish and we choose package your app, it basically asks you, you know, where is the website hosted? We go ahead, we choose finish. It creates a app manifest for you. Now note that when you deploy to a SharePoint catalog, you can just deploy this XML file. If I go ahead and we take a look at this file right here, you know, we can also see that we're no longer using the tilde remote app URL, but we have the true URL where this is going to be. Now, the final piece is now taking this and publishing it by simply going to a SharePoint app catalog. Just a second, it's going to bring back the app catalog site that we have here. And inside of this app catalog site, I'll give it 1 second to come back up here. It's not responding like it should. Okay, so here is my app catalog site. And while there is a apps for SharePoint document library, there's also a apps for Office. So all we have to do is take the XML file and add it inside there. Okay, well, that's great. Well, now let's go ahead and open Microsoft Word. And with Microsoft Word open, what we do need to do is to configure Word so it looks at this particular catalog. So if I go to Options, and then we go to Trust Center, and we click on Trust Center Settings, there is a Trusted App Catalog setting inside here. So I've already pointed to that. Note that you don't point to the document library. You point basically to the root URL of the app catalog site collection, and we say show in menu right here. And so what that's going to provide is this ability for a user to come down and say, we want to see everything that's inside there, including apps for my organization. So now I'm going to see any single app whose manifest has been deployed to the app catalog. We can now add that inside there. And so at this point now, you know, we have a live app for Office that's being used as it's been fully deployed. Okay, so let's go ahead and recap what we looked at. So we introduced apps for Office. We talked about how to get up and going with Visual Studio. We talked about reading and writing to documents using coercion types. We looked at the scenario where we have content controls with well-known titles, and we can create document bindings, which enables a bunch of different scenarios. And then we also talked about packaging and deployment, and I stepped through basically the details of how to do that. In our next module, we're going to continue the discussion of apps for Office, looking at PowerPoint. And in the next module, I'll show you how to add a custom web service behind an app for Office, but it's not going to be specific to PowerPoint. It's just we need to kind of fit content into the different sections there. So during the next module, we'll see how to add a custom web service.
So should we take a short break?
I think that would be great. That would be a great idea. Why don't we go ahead and take a short break? We'll come back and we'll talk about apps for Office targeting for PowerPoint.
Sounds good.